Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Poolside Perspectives podcast. I am Kevin Woodhurst, and with me is my good friend Mike Farley, and we're so glad you found this podcast. Together, we have been homeowner advocates in outdoor living and the pool industry for over 30 years. So we understand the challenges you face creating your backyard paradise. We know your curiosity is not enough to ensure your success. So on this podcast, we're going to talk about the design process and practical steps to help you create that space. We'll have some fun mixed in with it, some aha moments, and this is no fluff. No one has time for that. So we're going to get serious and get very particular about all of these topics. Whether you are a new homeowner with your first remodel or a seasoned homeowner competing your last dream home, we are here to help you end up with what you dreamed of. From pools to patios, pizza ovens to pergolas, porcelain to pumps, pool party to permits, ping pong tables to the processes to your paradise. This is Straight Talk and Action Steps. Let's get started. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kevin Woodhurst and Mike Farley with Poolside Perspectives. And we have got a really super special guest here tonight, and it is Danny Wang, who is internationally renowned. He is an amazing designer, and we're so excited to have him on our show today. Danny, welcome to the Poolside Perspectives.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. We're going to ask you a few questions. We'd like to hear about your journey into the pool business. So how you got started, what inspires you, what you gravitated towards, how you got your skill set, what makes Danny Wang tick?
So I got into the business, I was in general construction, working under my father, and he did some swimming pools. And I remember sometimes during the summer, I would go run, do some work for him. So I would do like the plumbing work, some of the minor excavations, and I just gravitated towards doing pools because that's what I was doing with him over the summer.
So your dad was a pool builder?
No, my dad was a general contractor.
Oh, gotcha.
But then he also did some pools. And what I would do is I would go work with the plumbers, the electricians, the people that place the rebars. I would go help them out during the summer. And that's what I grew up knowing the most, right? Like during the summertime.
Sure.
And when I got out, so after I got out of college, I went to start my own business. We focused more on just the outside. So the landscape, the pool, and just everything outdoors, just because I didn't like doing some of the stuff indoors. So that's how I got in. And then I was building for probably 10 years before I had like a fall in my business where I overtook too many jobs, didn't have enough labor, didn't have enough resources to complete them. I was running probably like 30 or 40 jobs at once. And that kind of led me to helping out a friend doing his business as in sales. And through that process, he actually mentioned that I was actually a very good designer. So I started doing design and doing my own thing with the design firm. Yeah. So to this day, we still design build, but I would say probably 80% design and then 20% design build.
Wow. Impressive. Tell me a little bit about what changes you have seen as to how our industry has changed just in the last 5 years. Because Mike and I talk about this all the time, and it seemed like things are definitely different pre-COVID versus post-COVID. But from your perspective, you're in California. What have you seen change the most in the last 4 or 5 years?
Not much has changed, but maybe more so on the features, right? Like people want bigger pools, people want zero edge, vanishing edge, more water features. And now we're doing bigger and bigger pools that has like different elements in it. So for example, pools with sunken fire pit, pools with sunken bar, pools with pool houses in them, right? So just a lot more featured, a lot more complicated pools since COVID, because now people realize that they could work from home and why not enjoy the pool?
Create a resort right in your backyard. Because some of the features we're talking about are resort features.
Yeah, yeah. And instead of going to resort, why not just go to your backyard?
I agree. So if you were going to build a new pool for Danny Wang today, as a personal project, what would be the most important item that you would want on your swimming pool? What are some of the features Danny Wang would put on his own personal pool?
Probably like zero edge pool, just because I love how clean it looks, or knife edge, Lautner edge. Lately, I've been doing this lazy river. So lazy river, maybe sunken fire pit. I would do a pool house, maybe with an underground basement. So it looks out the pool, right? Crazy things, TVs. Yeah, that's quite a bit already.
That is a lot. That is a lot. Yeah. Tell us how you got started with your social media.
I started in 2018. I was doing it just more for dabbling. It's funny because I was actually anti-social media. And I was doing it because at the time I was going through some rough stuff, like, again, overselling, not able to deliver projects. So at work, it was very depressing. Clients yelling at you, overcommitting projects, not having enough labor, not doing good quality. And at work, you owe people money, this and that. So I thought social media was like an escape for me. Because at the time, I didn't know social media worked like how it works now. I thought at the time, it was just like, okay, I'm nobody. I'm just going to go and rant about my day and post some projects and just get it off my chest, right?
I got to say, I'm inspired by that story. I'm just inspired by the fact that you had a situation where you recognize, man, this is just too stressful trying to work this many jobs, right? And handle this much stuff. And you maybe morphed your design business into more upscale stuff. Did you change the food chain a little bit?
No. So at that time, I didn't, again, social media and design business kind of happened at the same time.
Gotcha.
Because at the time, I didn't know I could design, right? So prior to 7 years ago and doing social media, I didn't know that I had the ability to design stuff. We always rely on designers, always rely on getting clients. So it was really 7 years ago that kind of triggered everything, right? The social media, the ability to start taking design jobs and realizing that, hey, I'm actually pretty good at design.
You're an amazing designer, sir.
Yeah, but to me, prior to 7 years ago, I didn't know, right? So just I thought we're a really good builder, do our work. And then as I got more reaffirmed, is, hey, I'm pretty good. Obviously, this guy thinks I'm pretty good at design. Let me go design, right? Because it's one of the things you didn't realize is like, oh, okay, if I'm a pretty good designer, then let me go design some stuff. It just snowballed from there.
I think it's funny. I'm a pretty good designer. You're an outstanding, amazing, at the top of your game designer. Most of your clients come from social media then now?
Yeah, mostly.
And probably referrals.
We still have some local, and then we have social media. This is where the misconception is. I was already doing 50 to 75 projects before I got on social media. And I've been building already for 10 years. Mm. So it wasn't like it's overnight success, right? Like people always ask, how do you grow your social media? How do you do all this crazy stuff? I was doing that already before I got on social media. So social media was just more of a channel that allowed me to share my content with. It wasn't because of social media I started doing crazy projects.
Right.
I was already doing crazy projects locally prior to that.
Gotcha.
So I think that's what a lot of people don't really understand is it's not magic. Like I didn't happen to just hop on social media, went viral and did all this. Those came from things that happened in the years before I got on social media. Mm. And then I think social media just took it to the next level where then my clients are the ones that's looking for, you seek and you attract, right? So you attract what you're seeking. So I started posting these really crazy projects and then the clients were, then you're attracting those type of clients. Mm. Yeah. So it's like a circle.
I complimented you on your design acumen because it's great. So I'm curious, not only for you, but for any of us that have been around a while, been designing pools, what helps you create new concepts and where do you draw your inspiration from? Is there anything in particular that just gives you that inspiration? I mean, what do you look at when you're creating stuff? Are you looking at different images, different projects, bring them together, or you just take every job?
No, usually it's not that complicated. For me to do a design concept, usually it's done within 15 minutes. This is one part that I don't really know. It's just, I see it. It's in my head. I go and do it. I don't really think too much about it.
Just but again, naturally.
But also prior to that, I've probably done 400 projects. And I think one of the inspiration, one reason I attribute to maybe having good design is I was the builder for a lot of good designers. So in essence, I'm almost like they're not prodigy, but I've seen so much what works and what doesn't work while we're building. So it's just, okay, if I'm designing the things myself, you could figure out what is buildable and what's not buildable and what budget and what's a lot of the variables before going in versus if I was just the designer, I would have to say, okay, how would I build this? How would the contractor build this? Or how much would this be? So I think that's a good benefit because I come from the build side. Mm-hmm. A lot of things I'm designing, I already know it's buildable. So I'm not wasting time going back and forth to say, hey, how much is this? How do you build this? Things like that. I could just conceptualize right away what is buildable and what's not buildable.
No, and I think that's the key point is that you can be able to do that. And the only way to really truly know how to do that, in my opinion, is to have the experience to do it and to spend the time in the trenches in the field figuring it out.
Yeah, so and I think so that's
your background's really, not only construction, but it is design and business. So it's like the full package.
Yeah, I think also willing to learn. I didn't have a construction background. I didn't have a design background. I didn't have a social media background. I have a finance background. So just more like, okay, I'm willing to learn it. Like this thing excites me. I'm willing to learn it and I want to do my best.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. That's definitely very interesting.
All right, so we got a question for the day, Mike. And this came from Dave in Phoenix. And he's asking, he said, Kevin, what is the difference between a cleaning system and a circulation system? Because I've had salespeople tell me that they can do both or they're not. What do you think he's asking for?
You can't have both, or you can have one or the other. So a cleaning system is when debris falls into a pool and settles on the floor, a cleaning system picks that debris up and puts it somewhere. So sometimes it's being sucked into a canister or all the way back to the equipment. Sometimes it's being containerized in a bag on a cleaner. Sometimes it's being moved to a main drain or it's being taken in there. But basically, the system is cleaning the floor of the pool.
So you're talking like the in-floor pop-up cleaning system.
It could be that, or it could be a Polaris running around and vacuuming everything and putting it in a bag. It could be an old Arneson pool vac, which just churned the stuff up. There are some cleaners that are what's called suction side cleaners that suck the debris.
And very popular in Phoenix.
Okay.
And probably Southern California, I would imagine.
Wherever your debris isn't real heavy,
right?
Those work well versus a Polaris. Almost all Polaris's are pressure side cleaners. Mm-hmm. There's one suction side cleaner. I think it's a Polaris 360, if I remember my numbers right. But it's basically cleaning the floor of your pool. Now, the challenge with this cleaner is it doesn't climb up on top of tanning ledges. It doesn't climb into a spa. It doesn't climb around bar stools. It won't work in a lazy river. The typical pressure or suction. Now, an in-floor cleaning system will work with all those situations. Mm-hmm. But your cleaning is just cleaning basically the floor, and maybe it might get some things on the walls.
Sure. And, you know, I think what I was thinking of as you were explaining that, another thing that people get confused is the difference between a cleaning system and the sanitation system.
Oh,
so
that's
one's treating the water, one is cleaning the water. When we're talking cleaning, we're talking about leaves and larger debris that ends up in a swimming pool.
Sand, dirt. Leaves, stuff that's on the floor.
Stuff that's on the floor.
Okay. So circulation, how would you explain circulation?
You're going to have a pool that's going to return. You suck water from a pool and then you have to return the water back to the pool. It can come back via water features, which can create surface agitation. It can come back via the surface returns, which I think most people are familiar with. Those are about 9 inches down from the tile line. And there's typically an eyeball fitting that's adjusted so that you can create some agitation around the pool, if you will. And then you've got your in-floor cleaning systems, which they pop up and they shoot high-pressure water out. That's circulating from the bottom up. Now, I've always been a fan of the in-floor cleaning systems, as you know, but partially because they make a really good circulation system and a cleaning system. And to your point, hose cleaners, whether it's a suction side cleaner or a pressure side cleaner, and just to be clear about what the difference is, a hose cleaner that is on the pressure side is going to have its own separate small little pump. And that cleaning apparatus, whether it's a Polaris or whatever, is going to possibly have a bag on it or a cartridge in it or something that's going to contain the debris. And you've got to take it out and clean it. And the floor system, pop-up heads, is going to essentially cause things to be up into suspension so that it either goes down into the main drains or into the skimmers of the pool. But if you're circulating from the bottom up and you're heating, we all know that we don't cook on a stove from the top down. So it makes sense that you're going to probably spend less money heating a pool with an in-floor cleaning system. If you've got chemicals being dispersed throughout the entire pool all day long, you're going to have consistent chemicals throughout the entire pool. The temperature is going to be the same throughout the entire pool. I can't think of a drawback.
So that's with in-floor. Okay. So versus a circulation system that goes to the eyeballs you're putting something on the surface and spinning it around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what happens is the water is then taken out of three different spots,
mm-hmm.
two skimmers, which are on the surface, and a main drain on the floor.
You're assuming there's two skimmers on a pool.
Oh, well, I did make a broad leap there.
Yes, you did.
That's true. A lot of times there's one
should
skimmer.
Be two skimmers on every pool.
And sometimes there's three skimmers. Sometimes there's four. So mm-hmm. depending on the size of the body of water that you're dealing with, one is pretty not accurate. If you've got a 200 square foot body of water, two, one skimmer may work fine.
Yeah. But
a pool's usually twice that size.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stir this thing around, it's like I pour my chocolate milk powder into my hot water and I stir it and all the stuff stays on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not mixing in the whole thing. Now, if you have one main drain on the bottom that it's pulling from that main drain, maybe a third of the water gets down there.
And we're assuming it's pulling from the main drain too.
That's, again, I said that was an assumption. So only a third of it's going to get down there. So you're not mixing that water. So from a circulation standpoint, it's mainly surface circulation. It's not completely turning over the pool. And for good sanitation and heating and things like that, you want to turn over all the water in the pool. So that makes it a challenge. An in-force system. Yes, because it's taking everything from the bottom and then it goes up was an excellent thing. And one of the things that I know that Claffey does, it's a little bit different than a lot of pool companies, is they use an in-floor system and a circulation system on the surface.
What we do at Claffey Pools is when we do an in-floor cleaning system, the surface returns are still in the pool. And pool companies that build a lot of pools, they're tied more into production. There's companies that pull those out.
So you just have, again, I have to understand the differences in the pros and the cons of those different things. An in-floor system could be both circulation and cleaning, but typically, other than that, your cleaning system is totally different than your circulation system.
Your cleaning system is totally different than your circulation sanitation system.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of those floor systems.
Yes. You asked if there's any disadvantage. They cost more.
They do cost more, but
there's costs and there's value.
And over the course of years, I think you're going to save money on heating. You're going to save money on chemicals. You're not going to be taking in and taking out a cleaner. You're not replacing a cleaner. You're not having a cleaner fixed. They only last so long.
I think that they intentionally break to take you to service places.
Like many other things in the world these days.
Yes. But that's an excellent question.
So I've got a couple of questions from a couple of guys that wanted to ask you these questions. And so if there is a luxury feature every pool or project should have, no matter what the budget is, what should it be?
For me, it's all about what costs a lot is the, I shouldn't say what costs a lot. For me, I try to put a vanishing edge or a zero edge pool on my projects. Just because I love the aesthetics of it. I love how unique it is, how clean it looks. So that's what I would put. And then functionality-wise, like nowadays, a lot of people do like oxygen pool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the next step is, and then the automation, the lighting. So now I'm doing a lot of DMX lighting. So I could have water wall that literally dance with the lighting, things like that. I think just technology and zero edge pool. And then that's what I try to do with all my projects.
Do you have a favorite color you like to work with or colors?
Yeah, mostly black. I think I would say probably 70 or 80% of my pools are black.
Yeah, I love black.
Just because it's got that vanishing reflective property, right?
Yep. That question came from Nick. Thank you for that. And then here's a question from Moses. I would want to know what you consider your title. What are you? Here's why I'm asking you this. Or why Moses asked you this. So, you know, some of us are considered designers, some are builders, some are developers. What is Danny Wang? Jack of all trades?
No, I think at the end of the day, we execute, right? So I would say, builders, because at the end of the day, no matter how good your design is, if you can't build it, what's the point? For us, it's more about how to execute what we're building, right? Or what we're building, what we're designing.
What are some of the worst problems that you deal with in construction? In California, like what are some of the struggles you have? Is it materials? Is it labor?
Labor, not so much for a swimming pool, but labor for everything else. Materials were okay now. I think cost increases and also the lack of labor and bureaucracy. The length of time that it takes to get permits in some of these cities are ridiculous.
Really? Months and months?
Or years.
Oh, wow.
You know, especially in LA, you have to go through complicated processes. This takes forever. And just how much stuff that we had to go through, like the soil report, the engineer, earthquake, and then rising costs. We have one of the highest labor costs and one of the, just everything costs so much. I mean, how much is gas over there where you guys are?
Regular gas is less than $3 a gallon. I think I paid $2.78.
Yeah, so we haven't seen gas in the $2 for maybe, I don't know, 10 years, maybe more.
They were $1.67.
Yeah, so here's $5.50 for most expensive.
Wow.
Like $4.95. So it's just everything you add to it then costs more. And then you have taxes, you have high workers' comp. So it just everything costs a lot more here. So that's the challenges that we're running into. I'm actually working on designing in other states and just like, oh, way easier. Like so much easier and so much cheaper.
Do you do all the design work yourself, Danny?
Yeah, for the most part. I have a whole team of staff, but most of the layout, yeah. Uh-huh. I think the layout is important. And then sometimes the detail finishes. It doesn't take me that long to design a pool, so.
Well, it sounds like you're very efficient. You got a methodology to how it is that you do things. So walk me through, like when you meet up with a new client, we had Kirk Bianchi on here a few weeks ago, and he had a really cool way that he does business and how he meets with people, how he designs. I'm curious to know, like when you meet with a new client, what your process and protocol is. You said you can design something in 15 minutes. So I'm assuming that you hand draw what your ideas are to get their ideas on it and whether or not they want to move forward. Walk us through Danny Wang's process, please.
So nowadays, most people call me, they already know what I do. So they give me a lot of flexibility. That's the best, right? They put their trust in you. They believe you're going to do the best. So they put a lot of faith in you. And that's mostly how my jobs are nowadays. Mm-hmm. And then, so we'll get bring onto a project, create what I want to create. And then meet with the client and say, hey, this is what my vision is for your house. You know, work some revisions out. Because at the end of the day, it's still their house, right? So some stuff that I come up with, it might not make sense for them. So go through rounds of revision, get the costing, and then we go build. So I mean, it's a pretty simple process.
Right. You do all the design work. So you're meeting with all the clients. You don't have a sales team. Danny is the sales team.
Yeah, yeah, because I have so much inbound calls and I don't take on that many projects.
Right.
I think the whole last couple of years, we're doing maybe like 50 projects, designing and building maybe 10 to 12, and then the rest is design.
And you do stuff not only in California, but you do stuff internationally?
Yeah, yeah. So now we have projects in Caribbean, Australia, Canada, different states. Yeah, I haven't gone out too far because I still do some site visits and also in certain areas, I don't know their laws. I don't know where it is. So I haven't ventured out too far yet. Like we get a lot of requests in Dubai, India, Pakistan.
So you do design work for them. You don't do construction work for them.
No, but I mean, I still try to be involved. So like those entities, I don't know what's capable. I didn't know how they do stuff. Would they run pumps? Like in certain countries, they don't even run a circulation pump. They just drain the water and refill it back every time they want to swim. Yeah. So it's, okay. That's interesting. So definitely a lot of learning. And also I do the whole house. So I'm designing interior, exterior as well and furniture.
So part of your 30 to 50 or 50 or plus projects is not only swimming pools, but home construction, home remodels.
Yeah. Because it's a misconception. I'm not a pool builder. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we're still more like a general contractor, right? Like,
gotcha. That's what I was looking for earlier.
Yeah, because I would say, actually, in fact, we would do more of that now because it's like we design the whole house, we do the interior, we also do the furnishing, the exterior furnishing. So it's like all in one.
Turnkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. People probably like that, especially busy, successful people or just jets doing their thing. They just need to know somebody's going to take care of everything.
Yeah, and that's more rare, I find. Yeah, that's actually super rare.
Gotcha.
Also better on a design perspective, if I'm designing the whole entire house, it's just more cohesive. So I'm not having to work with existing conditions. It's just more, okay, how do we do this? Like, how do we incorporate all the elements? And I feel like it's a way better cohesive in sense of better design because it's a more comprehensive. You're thinking about the inside, you're thinking about the outside, you know what the color is. So like when people come in, it's a very cohesive design.
Do you bring everybody into your office and put stuff up on a big screen? How do you do your presentations?
No, I mean Zoom videos. I do video presentation. I try to do the virtual reality, but not everybody likes that. So most of the time videos will do, like we'll do rendering videos or send it. And the rendering videos are pretty accurate enough.
Are they?
Yeah.
Mike wanted me to ask you about the Batcave, the inspiration for that.
The Batcave is a silly story.
Oh, because now there's a lot of projects I'm doing I can't show on social media. So I'm building it. It's the back of my office and we do quite a bit of man caves. And so I was just like, okay, let me go do one for my showroom because we're going to do like home theaters, speakers and bars and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the real reason that I'm doing a back cave is because my last name is Danny Wayne and I wanted to name my son Bruce Wayne, like Batman. And my wife didn't like the idea, but then awesome. that kind of stuck with me. I'm like, yeah. Bruce Wayne, why don't I go build Batman, Batmobile, things like that. So that's more like a silly, it's not like I'm super in love with Batman. I mean, it's cool, but it's just, it was silly. It was funny.
Yeah, it's cool. I think it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just maybe like an alter ego I create called Bruce Wayne.
You strike me, Danny, as really humble and just really want to do a great job. And it's really pretty special and cool. Like it.
Yeah. I try. I used to be way worse, but yeah, I failed. So after you fail, you eat some humble pie.
Do we really fail or do we just learn?
I learn, let's put it this way, I learn very painfully. So
we all have.
So just at the end of the day, I do it for myself or I do it for my clients. I'm not doing it to show off to other people.
Mm-hmm. By any chance, do you attend like trade shows or stuff like that within the industry?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I get paid to go to some of these trade shows. I like to check out those trade shows.
Service issues.
Just because you get to see the newest trends. I do a lot of tile trade shows. I get to see what's coming out next year, what's trending.
That makes sense because if you're a home builder and designer, you probably go to home builder shows and see all kinds of different materials and different features. And some of that stuff, maybe you're incorporating into the backyard.
Yeah, definitely. And then also technology, right? Like, how to incorporate different type of lighting. Every time you go to a trade show, that's where they have the newest things. So we just go and take a look to see how it incorporates with our business. But yeah, I try to go to a lot of trade shows.
That's excellent. So based upon the fact that you're going to the trade shows, been around the industry a long time, what in your mind would be some ways that our industry can improve? Both Mike and I, we're very much on the education track. We have been for a lot of years. We both want the industry to continue to get better. But from your perspective, what are some of the things the industry can do to serve our clients better?
Definitely technology. Now you have the ability to check and automate your pool automation systems, different building technologies, better products, even more efficient excavators, you know, things like that, right? Some tech, because the pool industry is actually very behind, especially the automation, right? It's just it's so ancient. There's not a lot of new things. So that part definitely is a game changing. Lighting
has really changed.
Yeah, lighting. Now you have people using, instead of 7-8 colors, now you have a couple of companies that have the infinity colors. So that's really cool. You could do syncing with music. And then I play with the addressable LEDs where you could program them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm creating different visual effects with my water features. Yeah, so things like that. I think other stuff that I see is like precast pools, prefabricated pools. So that's also something that I've seen a lot in the last couple years, the container pools, the concrete precast pool brings down the costs, little things like that help. And then in the future, all the robot excavators, you could remote control them. That's also super helpful, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Excavating pools. And then in the more future, maybe possibly robotic trays, right? Like robotic plumbers, things like that.
Wow, I can't even wrap my head around robotic plumbers.
Yeah. So I just dabble with that. Yeah,
I love it. Somebody that's really pushing the technology, that's awesome.
Even today I was on another call with someone that's consulting me with the potential of using the Apple Vision Pro. And that's something that I think could help enhance the future, right? Like you have all these people with not a lot of education, that's plumbing pools and things like that. With an AR headset, you could literally be plumbing a pool and there's literally either someone with you or education, even troubleshooting, right? Instead of having troubleshooting on the phone or FaceTime, you could literally, the tech could see what you're seeing and then help you through it. So tons of little things like that will definitely improve.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So I dabble with that stuff.
One last question for you. How do you see, because you seem really smart to me, how do you see AI changing our industry?
Oh, it already has, right? Like, in fact, I don't even hire more designers. I could conceptualize projects of AI within 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm designing 15. I could do AI in like 5 minutes.
Wow.
With the rendering, the visual. I mean, of course, you have to know what you're doing and then the input and the prompts. Yeah, speeds up the process. In a traditional scenario where it takes you maybe a day, 3 days to model, to design the pool, now with AI, you could do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's going through my head right now. Because I think about how much time I spend at a computer designing stuff.
Yeah. Again, not everybody's capable of doing it. You have to know what to ask the AI. And also, AI is not perfect.
You're right.
So you also have to know what's wrong with it. But for us, if we know what's wrong with it, we could fix that. I would say it's game changing.
It's like anything else with computers, garbage in, garbage out. So you got to get the right information in, work in the right program to get what you want, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, yeah. But it definitely speeds up. I think
what
time speeds up the time
modeling
process.
Package do you use now?
I embrace AI.
What
I
do use you all use for your design work then, Danny? Like when you're doing the, after you've done your conception, you said you draw it on paper, you can do it in 15 minutes, but now you've got to create a set of plans for someone to look at, or using Structure Studios, Lumion?
No, SketchUp and then Twinmotion. We're actually trying to get on Revit because a lot of home builder uses Revit.
Right.
It has the built-in model. You could do all the plumbing. You could do all this in 3D, 2D. So I'm trying to dabble more into that because it's just so much better. Instead of drawing in 3D and doing it in 2D, you could actually just draw everything and visualize in three dimension.
Did you ever use any of the industry software?
Oh yeah, Structure Studio.
So you started with Structure Studios maybe?
Oh yeah, yeah. Started with Structure Studio, and then we had some run-ins and we had some disagreement with the management. So I no longer use the product.
Understood. Yeah.
It's great. Easy to use, but it has limitations. Yeah.
So in closing, Danny, if somebody wants to get a hold of Danny Wang, how do they get a hold of you?
Email, social media, I'm pretty active on there. Yeah, I think those are the best way. Yeah, I try to answer most of my DMs and then try to answer most of the questions. And then now I'm kind of, with social media, I'm trying to give back. I'm trying to do a lot more like educational stuff.
Excellent.
So a lot more behind the scenes, how
I
do stuff. Ask
him if he sends us a bio.
Yeah, things like that.
That's awesome. Could you do us a favor? Can you send us a brief bio and maybe some pictures of your projects that we can put on the website? And then we can put some links back to you as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sure.
Great. Danny, I really appreciate you being on our podcast with us. You're a wealth of knowledge.
It.
And as I said in the beginning, your plans and your projects are absolutely stunning. And we very much appreciate your time.
No, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And then hopefully whoever's listening, hopefully this is beneficial to them.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Take care.
It gets cold sometimes and people want to stay outside all the time now. Right. What's your recommendation in regards to the heating of the outdoors?
Some of the feedback that we get from our customers is that, hey, if I would have done it over again, I might want to incorporate drop screens, or I might want to incorporate maybe under counter lights. But the biggest void we see or outdoor heating area, you know, outdoor heating solutions. This is by Infratech. So in a nutshell, not to take you on a boring journey, this company's out of California, great company. You can get different colors with Infratech. So what does a standard dual element bulb heater cover? And how high can you? The questions a lot of people ask is, how high can I put it? And then what's the coverage? We're finding that gas is good, but electric is better. It's not as invasive. We can incorporate into sub panels, add if we need to. A heater like this, it's a 61 inch dual element. They call it a CD. CD is a curved back. This one's in black and they call it a motif overlay. It softens the look up. If you'll look at the two heaters, WD, this is their standard heater they came out with, CD. And what's really the difference of the two? Color you can see already, but it's the bracket mounting. The bracket mounting is on the end. Some of our customers are like, you know what? It's a heater. It doesn't really bother me a lot. But some customers will say, listen, I like the brackets, but is there any way we can hide that? And on the CD series, they're tucked underneath, so the heater actually looks like it's floating. And we see that regardless of color, that this is the most popular heater that we do. Why would we show a WD? You do have some flat ceilings that you guys specify. And these would go into frame systems and do top-down heating. When you do that, there's no value added to do this type of heater, so we'll take the customer into that direction. What's the mounting height? 8 to 12 feet. What are the amperage? 25 amp dedicated. You can't tie these into 125 amp, in other words. If you have Lutron, System 4, Crestron, can you hook up to a house panel? Yes, you can. Why should I do a dual element versus a single element? Here's the one value added piece. It's a high low. So if I want to operate, Infratech has a switch. It's called the stack switch. It operates each bulb independently. So like a morning, like this morning, wasn't too cold, 59 degrees. If I want to operate one bulb without just overheating that area, I could operate one bulb by just a touch of the switch. Now, if it's a little cooler, like we're going to get at the end of this week, and it's 40s, then I'll probably operate both of them. Again, 11 by 11 area, we'll always recommend pairs, always, to define that area. So outside of the porch.
Like opposing each other.
That's right. So like outside in, wall of house out, or define that sitting area is what we do.
So 25 amps, that's, you got to do some planning to make sure you have the juice for that.
You do.
Absolutely.
You do. 6,000 watt, 25 amp, 11 by 11 coverage it's significant. Now, does it heat the air? No. It heats objects. It's infrared heat, right? Does it affect when wind blows? It does a little bit. And one thing is, if you do drop screens, this is value added. If we do gas heaters, we don't want to do drop screens with gas heaters inside of an enclosure. You can get a carbon monoxide poisoning, right? So we want to do, this is less invasive. I can go 36 inches away from a ceiling fan and 18 inches from an inside corner. And your combustion requirement is the bracket behind it. So you can put it up really tight areas.
If we're not doing electric and we go to gas, do they have a gas unit as well?
Infratech does not, then we take you to Bromic.
Okay.
This show is all about helping you become a better buyer, a better pool owner, and hopefully you're going to find some insights into how to enjoy your pool even more so, how to help your friends, your family, anybody looking to buy a pool in the future or that want to remodel their backyard, add an outdoor fireplace, fire pit, add an outdoor kitchen area, add some shade cells or whatever else it is. We want to be that resource for you, and that's the end goal here, and we promise that there's going to be a ton of information. We'll try to go through it, you know, as relatively quickly, but also slow so people can understand. But the intent of the show, the reason Mike and I are doing this is because we just got a lot in our heads and we want to share it. So we hope to see you here every single week. Thanks for listening.